Very glad to be here this morning, sharing the word. It's all in the help of the Lord, because we can't do anything without Him. Is that, everybody agree with that? We can't do anything, especially for Him, without Him. So He's got to help us, and we're trusting in that. And as soon as I get my notes straightened, my wife says, make sure you don't go too many minutes, but I have minutes written on each sheet, but I don't know if that's going to come out right. But we're going to talk about the Holy Spirit. But there was this man that went to his doctor, and he said, doctor, he says, I think I'm starting to forget things. And the doctor said, how long has this been going on? He said, how long has what been going on? But the Holy Spirit does not forget anything, because He knows everything. And the Holy Spirit is part of God. We talk about Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We don't always think, some people don't always think that much about the Spirit, but the Spirit is God, okay? And in John, which we're not going to read, but John 14, 15, and 16, Jesus said, the Holy Spirit will remind you about Himself, about Jesus. The Holy Spirit teaches us about Jesus. So the Holy Spirit and Jesus work together, and the Father also works, because one time Jesus said, I and the Father are one, and they went to throw Him off a cliff. So the Godhead that we believe in, which we call the Trinity, is not divided. They don't, one person doesn't do this, another one does something else. They work together. And this is, we cannot totally comprehend it, but we can understand a few things. So, but put your thinking caps on, because we're going to try to delve into a few things this morning. Who is the Spirit? I mentioned He's part of the Trinity. One of our professors gave us any illustration we have of God is not perfect. It can't be, because He is so sovereign and mighty and complicated. But he speaks to us in more simple terms so we can understand some things. But we will never totally comprehend. But this is an illustration. If you think of God like a big ball, gigantic, bigger than the sun, this isn't even sufficient to glorify Him. But it's all we have is human words at the moment. And then think of Jesus as part of that big ball coming off of it and coming to earth. I think about this a lot, and Jesus is God, but He came from the Father, and He came to earth. That's what we just celebrated Christmas. So that's Jesus and the Father, and the Spirit is like the mind of God. In Greek, it means the breath, the pneuma, the breath of God, and He goes all over the place. Like He's like a wind. He does a lot of things, which we're going to try to describe a few things. And the Spirit is amazing, you know. Well, God Himself is amazing. So that's just a little tip of the iceberg. The Spirit, He's always pure. He's called the Holy Spirit. He's pure. He's righteous. He's a Spirit of truth. Okay? The Spirit doesn't tell lies. The Spirit does not deceive. He's never against Scripture. Whatever the Spirit does in the world, even you think, how many believe He's still doing things? I got a few illustrations here that I think are pretty interesting. You'll hear it. But even in the Scripture, the Spirit, a lot of times things happen, like say, the Spirit told Philip to go over to the chariot with the Ethiopian. Well, that Philip didn't read in the Scripture, go to the chariot on December 26th. No, it happened to him, and then it got written down in the Scripture. So the Spirit works, and sometimes it's recorded, and sometimes we have modern workings of the Spirit, right? Is the Spirit still alive? Is God still doing things in this world? Any men's here? So, all right, we're going to read the main scripture, which is 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I'll read that now. And so it was with me, brothers and sisters, when I came to you, I did not come with eloquence or human wisdom, as I proclaimed to you the testimony about God. For I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I came to you in weakness with great fear and trembling. My message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith might not rest on human wisdom, but on God's power. We do, however, speak a message of wisdom among the mature, but not the wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. No, we declare God's wisdom, a mystery that has been hidden and that God destined for our glory before time began. None of the rulers of this age understood it, for if they had, they would have not have crucified the Lord of glory. However, as it is written, what no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, and what no human mind has conceived, the things God has prepared for those who love him, these are the things God has revealed to us by his Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, even pay special attention to this part of the chapter. He searches all things, even the deep things of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except their own spirit within them? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. What we have received is not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may understand what God has freely given us. This is what we speak, not in words taught us by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, explaining spiritual realities with Spirit-taught words. The person without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, but considers them foolishness and cannot understand them because they are discerned only through the Spirit. The person with the Spirit makes judgments about all things, but such a person is not subject to merely human judgments. For who has known the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. That's an amazing chapter. It's only, what is it, 14 verses? 15? I'll put on my reading glasses here. I don't use them very often, but you don't want to get the word of God wrong. We have 15 verses. Okay, so it's not a real long chapter, but there's a lot of points in it. It's a message of wisdom among the mature. Now, Paul's talking about the scripture he's written, and also he preached to a lot of churches. So he's talking about his words, which are God is helping him, the Spirit is helping him when he speaks, travels around, speaks, and half of that isn't even in the Bible. But here we have a chapter specifically in the Bible, and the Spirit inspires the words of the Bible. Everybody agree with that? This is the Word of God. It's inspired by the Spirit. Okay, Peter says in the olden times, the prophets spoke as they were moved by the Spirit of God. So the Spirit of God, he's been around a long time. He's eternal, just like the Father and Son. Okay, so it's a lot to think about. It's overwhelming sometimes, but I think one of the most beautiful things is that he loves us, he dwells in us, and he loves us. We'll get a little more into that. But that's a comforting thing. He's called the Comforter. There's a song, The Comforter Has Come. Anybody ever hear that? That's a good song. And that's about the Holy Spirit. He's also an advocate. He represents us to the Father, and so does Jesus. He's a lot of things. I don't even know if we're going to get through all these things. Well, not too bad. We're moving. He's a message of wisdom among the mature. Now, if you're a Christian, you should want to mature. There's passages in the scripture, writer of Hebrews, I couldn't feed you with good meat. I had to give you milk like a baby because you weren't mature enough. So we have to become mature. And the Spirit helps us to become mature. The Spirit reveals things. He reveals Scripture. All Scripture is breathed by God. And in the Greek, it's breathed out. It's like he's exhaling. It's the breath of God. That's the Spirit. Spirit is the breath of God. At creation, the Spirit was moving upon the face of the waters. And he was active even in creation. Spirit does a lot of things. The things we talk about today, it's probably not even half the things he does. And he's still working. So, okay. The Spirit gives dreams. We're going to talk about that so far. The time isn't too bad. And he gives revelations about heaven. If you read the book of Revelation, there's a lot of facts about heaven. How do you know what heaven's going to be like? Well, it's been revealed, a lot of it, not everything. So these are some of the things he does. He searches the deep things of God. All these are in 1 Corinthians 2. This is verse 10. He searches the deep things of God, whatever that is. The deep things of God must be pretty deep. So whatever God's plans, God's purposes, God's power, what he's going to be doing, all kind of things. The Spirit searches it, and the Spirit knows it, because the Spirit's like the mind of God. And remember, as we're speaking, we can't describe it perfectly. So I'm not going to make any apologies. No theologian or preacher can describe it perfectly. I know Pastor Dean's taking notes now. He's gonna let me know what's going on here. But no one can describe it perfectly. But Paul has it in the scripture, and this is what God wants us to know and think about. He knows the thoughts of God. He helps us understand, verses 12 and 13, what God has freely given us. So he helps our understanding. I can't say what that is in you. You don't know what it is in me. But he's given things. He's given gifts. Anybody ever heard of spiritual gifts? Okay, he's given some to everyone, at least one. So, and some, I believe, have a few. And he gives the fruit of the Spirit. He dwells in us, and we have the fruit. Everybody's heard of that, right? That's Galatians chapter 5, I believe. The fruit of the Spirit, and that's a whole message, and that's probably 10 messages. There's 9 parts of the fruit, but these are beautiful things. All right. Verse 13, it talks about using the words taught by the Spirit to explain spiritual realities. So it's a little hard to understand. The words taught by the Spirit, that's the scriptures, all right? Or if you were living back in the day, you could hear Paul himself in person preaching, you know, and he's inspired by the Spirit. That's the words that are used to help us understand. So understanding's not always easy, but that's what he's doing. He explains spiritual realities by Spirit-taught words. So words are important, right? I had a friend that said, I hope he's not watching today, but if he is, how you doing? he said that it's not the words that are important, it's the actions. No, words are important too, because the Word of God is extremely important. And the words that we read in here, it helps us understand things. Words are important. Now, based on the words, you're going to go out and hopefully live the life. Live the life. But you need the Word. You can't throw away the Word and say, I'm just going to... There was a guy, this actually happened. He was in a Christian college, and he was where two hallways intersect. He was standing there and wasn't doing anything. Everybody's going to their classes, and somebody says, what are you doing? He said, I'm waiting to see if the Spirit is gonna tell me to go to class. Well, that's a misuse. You know, you're in certain situations, you know what your duties are, you do it. Okay. So anyway, but some people, you know, get a little distorted with it. We have discernment of things. Discernment. Now, I looked this up in the Greek, and it says, it comes from anakrino, which means examine and judge. Examine and judge. Okay, you look at something, examine it, and then judge it. It's not judging a person, because there are other verses in Scripture, do not judge. Everybody heard of that? Do not judge. Don't say this man is going to be forever separated from God. You know, you're judging the person. We can't do that. But we can judge happenings, things that impact our lives, things that happen to us day by day. We can judge that. Okay, but be careful. You know, don't make a snap judgment. Oh man, I got the total knowledge of the Spirit. I'm going to just check everything out, and I know everything now, man. I'm going to just kill this world, you know. I'm going to be a real doer. But be careful. You have to get acquainted with the Spirit. You have to know, and you can't explain this to someone. The Scripture says the Spirit dwells in us. We become a believer in Jesus. The Spirit dwells within us. That's wonderful. Okay? So you have to get acquainted with the Spirit. And the Spirit testifies to our spirit, and we're going to have to get into this a little bit in a couple minutes, that we are the children of God. The Holy Spirit witnesses to your spirit, if you're a believer, that you're a child of God. That's great, isn't it? Anybody say amen? That's great. That means God Himself is witnessing, you're one of my children. That's encouraging. So I'm just not walking around, I hope I'm doing the right thing. And I don't know if I should go to church today. And, how much should I read the Bible? You know, you have more confidence because of it and more power. On the other hand, and these are the people you want to pray for, and we want to, the person without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit. You ever talk to someone and they just don't seem to be grabbing on to what you're saying, or they're deliberately rejecting it? You ever talk to someone like that? There's sometimes you meet people like that. They don't want to accept it. They're not spiritual, okay? Because they haven't believed in Jesus. They haven't received the Spirit living inside them. So that's a sad thing. They can't understand. They have the spirit of this world. Spirit of this world. 1 John 19 says the whole world is under the control of the evil one. So we have two kingdoms, kingdom of God, Jesus, and the Spirit, and the kingdom of Satan. Satan is basically controlling the world. Now we can break out of his kingdom, and we can do good things, and we can start some things like the church, you know, missions, talking to people about giving their lives to Jesus. There's a lot of good things, giving out food, doing good things from our heart, which is dedicated to God. But the world is basically under the control of the evil one. So people that are in that, they're not going to receive the things of the Spirit. Okay, now if you go back to verse 11, and put that up there. Let me do that. Okay, it talks about their own spirit. Who knows a person's thoughts except their own spirit within them? This is one of the most brilliant statements I've ever read in the Scripture. Who knows the thoughts of you, but your spirit that's within you. Your spirit knows your thoughts. So that's two different things. Your spirit and your thoughts. Your thoughts is part of your soul, spirit. We're getting a little philosophical here, but you got to see what is man? What is within me? Okay, those that went to my philosophy classes know something about that. Dean, he knows all about this. But we have body, soul, and spirit. If you don't believe that, read Hebrews 4:12 and 1 Thessalonians 5:23. We are made of three parts, and our spirit is not the same as the Holy Spirit, but it is a spirit. Okay? So, the Spirit dwells in us, as I mentioned a minute ago. The Spirit witnesses to our spirit, Romans 8:16, that we are the children of God. So the Holy Spirit dwells right, I don't know where it is, you know, is it 2 inches over here, is it down here? It's within us. and he communicates with us. Is that everybody experience this here and there? Maybe every day, hopefully. He communicates. Spirits, this is interesting to me anyway. Spirits communicate with other spirits. When I'm talking to a person, our spirits are communicating. And also, if we each have the Holy Spirit's working in us what to say, how to react with this other person, and things like that. So the spirits communicate with each other. Unfortunately, there are also spirits from the evil one that some people are involved with. It doesn't take much to get a bad idea in your head, and that's not coming from the Holy Spirit. Okay, so evil spirits also communicate, unfortunately, and Satan. So you can constantly be in touch, and you can be communicating with the Spirit. I think that's, you know, pretty interesting. Anybody, did I lose anybody anywhere? Everybody doing all right? Okay, now we're going to get into some interesting things. So what does the Spirit do? We talked about who he is. We mentioned a few things, what he does. But now we're going to go specifically, what does he do? He inspires Scripture. We said that before. Very important. A person that doesn't believe. I've started reading some books, and I realized, this guy doesn't really believe that the Scripture is the Word. He said, well, you might find a word in here, maybe that impresses you. Maybe that's a word of God to you. Maybe somebody else, it's some other word. And they don't really accept the Word. But the Spirit inspires the Word of God. He reminds us of Jesus. Now, one, I find this very interesting. He gives dreams and visions. One man dreamt he was a muffler and he woke up exhausted. But no, that's not from the Holy Spirit. He gives important dreams. Paul got them and visions too. And in the book of Acts it says in chapter 2, your young men will see visions, and your old men will get dreams. So I never got a vision. Now I'm getting a dream every once in a while. So I must be getting older. But he definitely gives dreams. Paul got a vision of the Macedonians come over here and help us. He was trying to go into other areas. It said the Spirit wouldn't let him. And then he got a vision, come over here and help us. That's where he was supposed to go. Daniel had dreams in the Old Testament. Boy, did he have them. Joseph and Mary. Joseph was instructed in dreams, you know, go to Egypt because the king is going to be killing babies, you know, and go there, you'll be safe. When to come back from Egypt. Take Mary as your wife. Don't worry about it because what is in her was put by the Holy. And there's another amazing thing of the Spirit. He impregnated Mary with the baby Jesus. That is amazing, you know? The Spirit can do anything, and we know God can do anything. I had a dream once. I was back in the 1960s. I dreamt there were these men outside of my window. They didn't seem to be very nice. And they were telling me not to do certain things, right? And they were right. What they were saying was right. But then they were making me do these things, which is kind of like devilish. You understand? They told me not to do some bad things, then they made me do it. And the Lord showed me that this is the way a lot of things work in this world. People will actually have a lot of good things to say. Sounds good. Don't do this. Do this. And then at the same time, they're undermining everything and messing up the world. And so that was the dream I had. I believe it was from the Holy Spirit. Some people don't believe, you know, in dreams at all. Not every dream has a big meaning, or hardly any. Ever, just about when you're about to wake up, you have this stupid dream, I gotta wake up and get there. I can't stand that. But dreams are always often associated with miracles too, and the Spirit is associated with miracles. Philip, when after the Spirit says go down and go near this chariot where the Ethiopian was, then he was caught away. He was caught away, and he appeared in another town some distance away. That's a spirit. Okay. That's a miracle. Miracles, angels, and the Spirit often work together. Check it out. Check it out. I used to work for a mission that got Bibles into communist countries. And every once in a while we would hear someone from one of those countries. I think this one was from Bulgaria that I want to share with you. They would tell different experiences. And this one brother, he was walking along and he saw what he believes is an angel. And the angel was taking these gold coins, antique gold coins, very valuable, and putting them different places. And he asked them what he was doing. And he said, these are going to be for God's people when they have a great need in their life. There's going to be these coins, different places. And some of God's Christians are going to find them. And he firmly believes it was an angel. This here was really amazing. I used to go up to New York before all this stuff has been taking place. And one time we went to the Church of the Nazarene. It wasn't too far from Times Square anyway. But we went in there. In the front of the church, there was four kind of unusual looking people. And they turned out to be Chinese Christians that had come out of the communist China that had gone through persecution. And the one of them gave testimonies during the service. And one of them said he was in prison, and so was another Chinese brother, Christian. So he said, the Lord said to him, tonight, brother so-and-so, you're gonna release him from his cell. But you're not gonna go free. It's not your time yet. So he got a key, I don't know, through some miracle. Went over, unlocked the brother's cell, told him, the Lord said you're going to go free. Just like Peter in the book of Acts. He went. The other guy went out. This guy went back into his cell. But obviously he's out now because I heard him testify. So it wasn't his time yet. But this is the Holy Spirit. This is exciting, you know. I mean, I don't want to go to prison, but you know. But it's exciting. And these are the kind of things the Spirit has power and things that he does. He reveals things. Verse 10, if you read in 1 Corinthians 14:30, you'll see another mention of revealing. He guides and directs us. Romans 8:14, those who are led by the Spirit are the children of God. Praise the Lord. Any amens? Okay, you have to be led. If you don't have the Spirit of God, you're not a child of God. The Scripture says that. Okay, the Spirit testifies with our spirit that we're God's children. Okay. The Spirit also gives us, if He's living in us, we have the fruit, love, I'm quoting the King James, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. And I noticed recently my joy is a little low. Anybody experience that at all? It's a little weak. So you might want to pray for me. But this is part of the fruit of the Spirit. If the Spirit is in you, and the word for fruit is singular, it's all these different nine things. It's all one fruit, singular. So if you have the Spirit in you, you will have the fruit, love, joy, peace, and all the other aspects. So that's great. And then we have the gifts of the Spirit, which I'm not going to go into, but you can read. That's a whole nother series of study. 1 Corinthians 12 to 14, Romans chapter 12, if you're taking notes. And these are wonderful things too. Okay, gifts, whatever it is, wisdom, knowledge, teaching, administration, helps, mercies, all different kind of things, which is needed in the church. All these gifts, and you can use them, some of them outside the church too, but especially in the church. So we could go on, but I want to ask the final question. What about you? Because the title of this message is The Holy Spirit and You. So, and I'm including me, I'm preaching myself too. The Spirit, is He helping you to be pure? These are our final thoughts. Is He giving you power? Is He helping you to become mature? Can the Spirit use you supernaturally? One man said, we should be naturally supernatural. Just walk around and different things happen, you know. Anybody ever see the movie Joshua? It's a neat movie. He just does, he's Jesus, and he just does things. Like to him, it's just like daily life. But we should be naturally supernatural. We should develop the fruit. Are you using your gifts? Do you know what your spiritual gifts are? One or more? Has He revealed things to you? He's transforming us into God's image. Is this happening in your life? He gives you power to live a righteous life. We can't do these things on our own. So examine ourselves. Is this what's happening in us? If there's anyone that your life isn't going very well, you can't understand spiritual things, you don't even know what we're talking about, you have no purpose, sometimes you get evil thoughts, often, you need to repent, believe in Jesus, and He will send the Spirit into you, and the Spirit will dwell in you, and then you'll have all these other things that we just mentioned. It's a wonderful thing. And in Romans 8:9, it says, if anyone does not have the Spirit of God, he is none of His. So examine yourself. Hopefully we're all in God's family, and we thank Him. So let's have a word of prayer as we conclude. Father, we thank You for the Spirit. We thank You for Yourself, Lord, Father, Son, and Spirit. We thank You for the things that can be done through Your Spirit, Lord, and even in little old us who are we're just like nothing, but You've made us something. So we just ask You, Lord, to work in every single person. And we ask You to be with those that may be discouraged, having difficulties this time of year, those that have been affected with this sickness, that You would uphold them, heal them. Help us to be Your servants in the name of Jesus. Amen.